Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 43.
As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with the tanner named Simon.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Acts chapter 9. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd guide my words, that your Holy Spirit would direct them, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would challenge our hearts, that we might hear what you have for us this morning and be changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was preparing for today, I came across what I believe to be a true story of a man who suffered a great deal. This man had lost his job during a time of recession, and because of the recession, he wasn't able to find any other form of employment. In time, this cost him his house and all of his savings. And just when he thought that everything was about as bad as it could be, his precious wife passed away. Yet despite all of these hardships, this man held on to his faith in the Lord. One day when this man was out walking, seeking employment, trying to find another job, he stopped by some men who were working on a huge church building. One of them was chiseling away at a stone on the ground, and it was a triangular-shaped stone, a bit of an unusual shape. And as he walked past, he asked the man, "Where are you going to put that rock?" The workman looked at him and said, "Do you see that opening way up there on the steeple? Well, I'm shaping this stone down here so that it'll fit in up there." This man walked away, and he went away in tears. The Lord had spoken to him through that workman, whose words gave new meaning to all of his suffering. This man's circumstances were still extremely difficult, but after hearing the words of that workman, he now understood that all of his suffering was not in vain, because God was shaping him down here so that he would be ready for up there. God was making him more and more like his son to prepare him for the age to come. So look at these verses this morning. Some of us may not feel as though we've been going through hard times lately. Some of us may be pretty happy with our current circumstances, while others may be going through a season of suffering. Whether you're suffering in one way or another at the moment or not, at some point we all experience seasons of suffering. Some of us, it may be health scares, the loss of a loved one, all sorts of financial struggles. Others suffer in different ways, In this life, none of us will escape times of suffering. But the good news that today's passage is encouraging us to see is that because of what Jesus has done, those who trust in him do not suffer in vain. Because as we go through times of suffering, with our eyes fixed on him, we are being shaped and made more like Jesus as he prepares us for the age to come. As this morning's passage begins, Saul has been sent off to Tarsus, his hometown, away from the Jews that were trying to kill him in Jerusalem. And as Saul was being sent away, Peter began to travel from town to town, encouraging and visiting the believers who had been dispersed because of persecution. And while Peter was traveling around, visiting the saints, which is just another word for those who trust in Jesus, he came to a place called Lydda. And there he found a man who'd been paralyzed for 8 years. Back then, for this man, there wouldn't have been any disability pension. He wouldn't have been able to get any kind of welfare. This was a really significant form of suffering. If he had a family, he would have no longer been able to provide for them. And the only way he would have been even able to eat was to rely on other people to carry him out to where he could beg and sit there and beg for just enough food, just enough money to buy some food to eat. Suffering of this man was humiliating. It had taken away any sense of contributing to society that this man may have felt. And it made him dependent on others for everything. Now, we don't know if this man was a follower of Jesus or not. Peter had gone to Lydda to visit the believers there, so this man may have been a believer. And I'm inclined to think he was, because Peter refers to him by name. Peter seemingly walks up to him and says, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat." And immediately Aeneas got up, and presumably he did exactly what Peter had asked him to do and rolled up his mat. When the people of Lydda and the surrounding plains of Sharon heard about this, well, they believed that this was the power of God, and they put their faith in Jesus. Now, while Aeneas was being healed in Lydda, over in Joppa, just 23 kilometers east of Lydda, a faithful disciple of Jesus named Tabitha had become sick and passed away. Luke makes special mention in verse 32 of the fact that when you translate the name Tabitha from Aramaic to Greek, it becomes Dorcas. Doesn't mean a lot to us, does it? But Luke then points out that Dorcas means gazelle. In the scriptures, the name gazelle often refers to somebody who is agile and, you know, swift of foot. But it also can be used to refer to someone who is dearly loved. And that seems to be the way that Luke is using this word here. Because he goes on to explain that Tabitha was someone who was always doing good and helping the poor. Loved by her friends, loved by God, and yet she was still allowed to suffer this illness and pass away. When Tabitha became sick, well, she was the one who was suffering in her illness. But now that she had passed away, those who loved her, her dear friends, her fellow believers, were now suffering grief and loss. A common practice in the culture of that day was to bury the deceased before sunset. We see that back in chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. But here, something strange happens. Tabitha's body was washed and placed in an upper room. It's a very unusual action by the believers here. But they presumably did this because they knew that Peter was not far away. And so, having heard that Peter was only over in Lydda, just 23 kilometers away, they sent two men out to go and get him as fast as they could. And when Peter got there, well, he was ushered into an upper room where Tabitha's body lay. The room was filled with widows who were grieving the loss of their dear friend and sister in Christ. Still in deep pain over their loss, they showed Peter the robes and the other things, other clothing that Tabitha had made while she was still with them. Tabitha was dearly loved and deeply missed. Peter sent all the people out of the room. He got down on his knees and prayed to the Lord. Then he turned to the deceased and cried out, "Tabitha, get up." And instantly her eyes were open. She sat up. Peter took her by the hand, helped her up, and presented her to those who were friends and her family alive. You can imagine the roller coaster that the emotional roller coaster that her friends and her family and the fellow believers would have been going through. They've gone from deep grief to sudden shock at seeing her now alive to joy over what God had done, what Jesus had done through Peter. You can imagine them telling absolutely everyone who would listen. And when the people of Joppa heard about Tabitha, how she'd been raised from the dead, many who heard this good news believed in Jesus. Now, you may have noticed it, or you may not have, but there's something about the way that Tabitha was raised from the dead that bears a striking significance to the way back in the Old Testament, Elijah raised the widow, the son of the widow of Zarephath, back in 1 Kings chapter 17. And a lot of similarity to the way that Jesus raised Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. In fact, as Jesus goes in and commands Jairus' daughter to rise from the dead, he says these words, "Talitha kum," which in English means, "Talitha, get up." And here in Acts 9, Peter says almost the same thing with just one letter difference as he walks in and says, "Tabitha, get up." In fact, all three of these resurrection accounts have remarkable similarities. In all three of these miracles, the healer was absent and needed to be sent for in a big hurry. The deceased was placed in a room rather than being buried before evening. The healer encountered people weeping and mourning the loss of this loved one. The healer sent everyone out of the room and prayed quietly to the Lord, gave the command for the deceased to rise, their eyes opened, and the deceased was presented alive to their loved ones. And in all three of these accounts, the raising of the son of the widow of Zarephath, the raising of Jairus' daughter, and the raising of Tabitha here, in all three of these accounts, those who heard about this amazing miracle that God had performed believed and put their trust in the Lord. As Luke shares this account of Tabitha's resurrection, he is showing the similarities of these other resurrection accounts because he wants those who read these words to understand that it is God who has done this amazing miracle through Peter. It wasn't Peter who raised Tabitha from the dead, nor was it Elijah who raised the son of the widow of Zarephath. In all three of these accounts, it was Jesus who had taken those who were suffering from their time of mourning and turned that mourning into joy. But the healing of Aeneas and the raising of Tabitha were never meant to be the things that anyone put their hope in. Aeneas was no longer a paralytic. He was now able to go and earn a living, to support a family, to contribute to society. But he would eventually grow old and die. Tabitha was raised from the dead, but she too would eventually grow old and die. And those who loved Aeneas and Tabitha would once again mourn the loss of their loved ones. There is joy in having our sufferings in this life removed, but that kind of joy is not lasting, because sooner or later we'll experience some other form of suffering. But those who heard about these miracles and put their faith in the Lord, they are the ones who found lasting joy, because they are the ones who found a hope that is beyond the sufferings of this world. The main purpose of Jesus performing these miracles was to direct people to himself, to the one who brings lasting joy that isn't affected by our circumstances. One who will not only be there when we need him, but who is always faithful to his promises. These verses remind us that God is able to do more than we can think of or even imagine. And they remind us that in times of suffering, grief, and loss, we can pray to the Lord with expectancy, because he can do more than we can even imagine. Whether God answers our prayers by removing our suffering, or our hope still remains, and his work of shaping us and making us more like his son continues. If our faith is in Jesus, our faith is in the one who has been raised from the dead and who has already raised others from the grave, but not so that they would grow old and die again, but so that they might spend eternity with him. As amazing as a paralyzed man being healed completely and a deceased woman being raised back to life is, these two miracles are only a glimpse of the joy that is before those with faith in Jesus. The joy of life forever in God's presence, of Jesus wiping away every tear from our eyes, of eternal life without death. It's hard to even imagine. Without death, without mourning, and without crying or pain. In this life, as we all know, there will be suffering. We'll all experience different kinds of suffering, different kinds of hardships. We don't face these things without hope. Once the famous Christian writer, C.S. Lewis, was asked, "Why do the righteous suffer?" Or in other words, why do those who put their faith in the Lord, why do they go through hard times? To which C.S. Lewis replied, "Why not? They're the only ones who can take it." Can't tell you how many times I've said something pretty similar or heard someone else say the same thing. I don't know how people who don't know the Lord are able to handle really significant pain and suffering. The pain of losing a loved one or a terminal diagnosis or some other sort of really significant kind of suffering. Because without hope in what Christ has done for us, all that suffering is just random and meaningless. But as those who trust in the Lord, our suffering is not in vain. It is not meaningless. It isn't without purpose. It is his work in us as he makes us more dependent on him, as he reminds us of the hope we have in him, and as he takes our eyes off the temporary things that are all around us and places our eyes on the things of eternity. We might not understand how the work that he's doing down here is preparing us for eternity. But if the stoneworker is able to work a stone on the ground so that it fits perfectly in the steeple, how much more can we trust the author of creation with his eternal work in us and those around us who are struggling? So today, whether you're enjoying a season of blessing and everything's going well, or whether you're facing some really tough times, be encouraged that those with faith in Jesus do not suffer in vain, and we do not suffer alone. Because as we depend on Jesus through the hard times, he is shaping us and making us more like himself down here as he prepares us for the age to come. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize that when we are facing hard times, when we face loss that we cannot explain, it is not always easy to recognize your work in our lives. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on you so that when times of suffering and hardship come, we might hand them over to you and entrust you with them, knowing that you see the bigger picture that we don't see. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to be encouraged in knowing that whatever we have gone through or are going through, Lord, we are not going through it in vain. And we are not going through it on our own, because you are there with us. And our hope is greater than whatever that thing is. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.